You probably know me. I'm Lisa Lorraine Smith, the Chief Program Officer here at the network. And it's so good to see everyone's faces. I've seen some of you on other calls, but looks like we have new people on this call, which is always great. I wanted to introduce our co-chairs of this group, the Older Adult Services Affinity Group, and that's Adam Halpern from JFS of Seattle. Wave, Adam. And looks like you're the only guy here, so there you are. And Christina Gelazzo, who is
Hey.
at Gulf Coast. So you guys can take it away. Everyone knows Zoom by now. Just please right-click in your box and rename yourself to Deborah-Detroit for wherever you're from, just so we have a sense as to where everyone is. That would be so great.
Let me do that to myself too.
So you just right click, go to rename, rename yourself, and then press OK. That's great. So with that being said, let me just find out who's in area code 609. Who's that? Who's in area code 609?
That's Gail Belfer.
Okay.
Gail Belfer
Hi, Gail. And
from Cherry Hill.
there
Hi.
you go. And who is in 610? Someone here in area code 610 who called in?
So I know
Yes.
she just goes.
Who is it?
It's Aleka Smith with Dayton.
Okay.
JFS in Dayton.
Okay, Aleka, you're going to have to mute yourself because your phone is making noise. And then when you want to talk, unmute yourself. Terrific. Okay, that's
How
the
do I
message.
mute myself?
Are you on your phone?
Yeah, how do I mute myself?
How does she mute herself on the phone? Does anyone know? I've never called in.
There's a mute button, just like if you're on any call, I think you can
Yeah.
just hit mute. Like on the keyboard, there should be a mute
Oh,
button.
like a regular call. Okay,
Yeah,
thanks.
I think I
Yeah.
should do
We learn so much from each other on these calls. Thanks. Okay.
Right?
So helpful.
Yeah. Okay. Take it away, you two.
Great. Thank you for showing us how to mute our phone, Lana. And just one quick other update. We're going to try to end at about what is it? In my time, it's 12:20. I guess that's
3:20.
20 of the hour, yeah.
Just because I think many of us are in Zoom meeting after Zoom meeting, and what we've noticed is that there are no breaks between these Zoom meetings. We're going to try to end a little early. So, with that being said, we do have several questions that we would love people to give input and share their thoughts on. And I'll just tee up the questions and then we'll open it up to the group. And you can answer all or none of the questions, whatever is on your mind. The main goal is for us to share ideas and support each other. And I think that's needed more than ever right now. So the things that we had come up with are innovative programs that you've implemented in the last, month or two since all of our work has changed so much. If we're not seeing clients or if we are in a very limited fashion. So what innovative programs you've put into place, what reopening might look like for those of you that are considering starting to resume home visits or other types of programming, what in-person contact might look like as we all reopen. And then the last thing is, at least here in Seattle, I have noticed a real increase in staff stress just over the last week or two as we all see that this is going to be a very long haul for us and our clients. Clients are experiencing a lot more stress. Clients who were fine for the first month, who thought, oh, this will only last a month or two, now realize they may be in their homes for a year or more. And so clients are more stressed. Staff are stressed in their personal lives as they continue to try to care for their families, their children, their own loved ones, but they're also experiencing that secondary stress of just hearing from client after client about how stressful their lives are. So what, so my question really is, what are you doing for staff to try to alleviate some of that increased stress we're all starting to experience? So with that, I think I will turn it over to whoever has thoughts on those three questions: innovative programs, reopening, or supporting staff through these stressful times.
Hey, Adam, can I start? This is Christina from Gulf Coast. So this has been a rough time, I think, for everybody, and we definitely haven't been prepared. We've been working remotely since March 15th. We're still allowed to go in the office, and I do have a skeleton crew. I have three people that actually work out of the office. The rest are, you know, from home. What we have done, just for the organization, we have created a calendar on our SharePoint. So everybody that gets in the office have to put their name in and the times that they are in the office. So that is that first started for if there is an emergency, for example, fire or bomb threat or whatever, what have you, so we know how many people are in a building at any given time. And then it kind of evolved into if anybody tests positive for COVID, and so we at least know, okay, person X came to work on this day and they tested positive, how many people were in the office on any particular day, and then, you know, we can at least do tracing. Knock on wood, luckily we haven't had to do that with employees. We do have several staff, like homemaking staff, that have been exposed to COVID positive clients, but so far tested negative. So we also partnered with local restaurants, and it's not just Gulf Coast, it was throughout the state of Florida, but our area here, which is Pinellas Pasco, so it's Tampa, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, is leading the way. So they've delivered 900 meals last week. So partnering with restaurants, so they don't go closed, they provide meals for our clients instead of the Meals on Wheels program. The rate is a little bit higher, but that helps to keep our economy going and put food on the table for our clients and for the people that work in the restaurant business. So we also applying for multiple grants, and I know we received CARES funds to start short-term counseling for 3 months. I work in the elderly program. I think we all are, obviously. So the clients are going to be 60 and over, but to provide short-term counseling, and if they need more intensive services after that, then we will refer them out. I know that they've upped the number of times you can see a counselor for free on the employee assistance program. So that program has been offered to our staff. We keep in touch with each other weekly. We do Zoom meetings face-to-face with everybody. I have received concerns from staff that they want to go back to the office, they're tired of being at home. But so far, Adam, and I don't know for everybody, I think we're doing well emotionally. We know that we're helping clients, and if it wasn't for us, a lot of people wouldn't receive help. But we, you know, try to practice self-care, and every time we do a Zoom call with staff, I have some fun activity for them or something like that. So that was that. We also started the chats program, which chats started before the pandemic. So it's a telephone reassurance. And now we call them instead of once a week, we can call them 2-3 times a week. So just someone to talk to. We've partnered with, we have a Feed in Tampa Bay organization. I'm sure it's subsidiary of Feed in America. We receive meals every Tuesday. We can get 7 meals per client for a week. So that has been very helpful for us.
You got it. Busy.
And then so I tell my people it's a job security.
Wow.
it finally pays to work for a nonprofit. You know, our agency, we have not laid anybody off. No hours have been reduced. For people like my homemaking staff that they don't have clients to serve, they do telephone reassurance. Mm-hmm. They call clients and make sure that they're okay. We started separate shopping assistance program where my person will just go and just do shopping for the client, nothing else. So it's a separate thing. So I'll let others speak. Who's next?
Maybe I'll add that I'm Clara Simon from Jewish Family Services of Northeastern New York. And we're happy to see that the Federation is supporting us. So the Federation, our agency, and the local food chain, which has a kosher store in one of this, are all partnering together to do both, and a big volunteer, again, sort of across the community, are partnering to do shopping for people. People give their shopping lists, and a volunteer will shop and deliver it. That's one thing that's going on. And also, we're happy that part of the Meals on Wheels is getting supported through the Albany County Meals on Wheels. So they're agreed to do kosher food and to do fund more of it. The funding's coming to end, I think, the end of June. So the director of our agency is going to look for more funding streams. But we are seeing cooperation across the community. Of course, we're small. Albany has 100,000 residents. So that's where we're also doing
cooperation and collaboration.
Yeah, so that's what we're happy to see. And we're also doing, we are the lead agency of a NORC, if people know what that is. Probably some of you do and some of you don't. Neighborhood Naturally Occurring Retirement Communities. So they had a very good, strong network with their people. Both they have contact information, I think, for upward of 4,000 people. It's a 3-square-mile area. So they're continuing to do their programming, obviously virtually. The rest of the agency kicked in with support groups that we're calling them virtual discussion groups. They're reaching different populations. So I'm involved with the older people, the older adults. There's one now that's coming up for Mission Impossible for a parent kind of age, where they're trying to work from home and have children that they're caring for both on computers and not. There's something for students themselves that, I think the ones that are the most successful, at least, are the ones where the relationship was there already. So our agency was in two of the day schools, local day schools. I guess my challenge, though, Adam didn't seem to, we didn't have a question about ideas for improvement. For us, I guess it would be how to get the word out. The people that seem to be coming to these virtual support groups are people who are more or less connected already. I mean, we always have a telephone in option, not just Zoom, but in spite of it, it's the, you know, so how do we're working with the Board of Rabbis. There is an outreach coordinator, but that, you know, how to get the word out and how to get people connected who are the least connected and probably the most in need of connection. So that's a question I would toss out to the rest of you.
I think that's always been the biggest challenge, and everyone can talk about it, because you're talking about they can call in, but they have to get the email invitation first, which they don't get. So, you know, that's the problem. And I think we've tried to talk about that over the course of different affinity groups. I don't know if anyone has come up with a great solution. I know we talked about phones, you know, doing Abby from Raleigh has something.
Yeah.
Want me to unmute?
So Raleigh, we are very, very small. Our office is so crowded, under normal circumstances, we have to share our space. So we're not planning on all coming back to the office anytime soon, because the space is just too small. But I want to tell you something that we are just launching right now, which addresses the how to connect. We got some funding from a local person in the community to purchase tablets. So we're going to purchase inexpensive tablets that we're going to preload, because a lot of our clients do not have devices. And the way we found out is we literally called everyone. we had a group of people reach out and call all of our clients. Do you have internet? Do you have a device? And we got that information. We purchased tablets, which will be coming in on Thursday. We're going to preload them and then give them to people with instructions. And we have technology support volunteers who are going to reach out to them and say, have you, you know, what help do you need to get you on board? The funding will also help pay for the internet if people don't have it. What we found is that we have people who might have an old device that no longer works, don't know how to use it. So that's where we need that tech support. So we're going to preload it, and we're still figuring out what to preload. There'll definitely be some connected to the JCC programming. We'll have the ability to do some groups, doing some meditation, YouTube, some exercise YouTubes that people can do a drop-down menu and easily pick. Because that's one of the things that I think, Adam, you mentioned, that people are, you know, maybe the first few weeks they were managing, but now I agree. I'm finding the people that I'm working with are really feeling more and more and more isolated if they're living alone in their own homes and don't have connections with families. We do mitzvah meal delivery. That's with a local caterer. The extra funding we got, we were able to increase the number of people, but it's only twice a month, a Shabbat meal that's delivered by volunteers, as well as we have an active food pantry that we're still delivering meals. And somebody asked a question about the share more information. I'll have to read that. We have telephone reassurance. We're doing calls twice a week.
Abby, hold on for 1 second.
Yeah.
You have a small staff, you said.
It's just me.
Right, so you're doing a lot of work.
As working with the older adults.
Right, right. Okay. So let's just add, what about the Chrome? How much were your tablets? Did you get a good deal on it?
Yes, Lemoore, the director of JFS, did get a good deal on it. She went out and bought 25, and I'll have to get the more detailed information about what she got.
That's good.
But I think the funding we got was up to $38,000 to do the increased mitzvah meals, the increased number of hours for social workers, support staff, to do more, to do the tablets, to do the technology, the internet, and any other programming, which is
that was a great grant, you know, that she got.
It's a local person.
It was a local person.
A community member. So amazing.
Amazing. What about other people?
Beth had raised her hand, so I don't know, Beth, I don't know if you were responding to Clara's question or something else, but you had raised it a little while ago.
In terms of getting the word out about programs, so I'm in Boston. I've noticed that we're getting a lot more referrals from medical providers. I think it's a time where just mental health needs are soaring, and also there's a lot of exchange among providers where there used to be greater silos. So I was just going to recommend reaching out to hospitals and other larger physicians' practices and so forth to make sure they know about your support groups and other services. And I wanted to mention real quick that I run a network to help people start and run memory cafes, but a lot of the issues we touch on would be applicable to anybody running social and creative engagement programs. So I'm going to put in the chat box our webpage where you can watch the recording from our April 28th meeting that's all about how to run these types of programs virtually by phone and by computer. And you can sign up for our mailing list. We're having our quarterly meeting on June 10th, where there will be a panel of 5 teaching artists talking about how they do facilitation virtually. And I'll be presenting how we transitioned our memory cafe to virtual. I'll just mention there's a lot of financial pressure. I wish we were not feeling it, but we are, and other agencies in our communities are experiencing an increase in demand as well as layoffs. So it's very tough. And I'm going to have to leave shortly after 3 for another meeting, so I apologize in advance, but thank you.
Beth, what is the date of that meeting in June?
It's June 10th, and I'll put the information in the chat box right now.
Okay, thanks.
Beth, can I ask you a quick follow-up question?
Yeah.
About that outreach to medical providers, it feels to us that it's harder than ever to do outreach. Everyone's like so overwhelmed. You know, we used to even see people in person sometimes. So yeah. I'm wondering how you've been able, maybe you had existing relationships already, or how you've done new outreach given the limitations today.
Well, good point. I think most of the referrals have come through existing relationships that were in place but sort of dormant, and it's just that now there's an increase in demand, and so the referrals are coming. But yeah, it could be a very difficult time to start new relationships. That's a important nuance. Thank you.
But if you don't try, you don't get. So everyone should try, I think. Ilana, did you want to say something? Oh, no, someone raised their hand. Deb raised her hand.
Yeah, so I just wanted to talk a little bit about what we're doing in Detroit. So our main service to older adults is a day program for people living with dementia. And, you know, similar to, we have other programs for older adults, and similar to what Abby was talking about, we've been talking about how we can get tablets into our older adults' hands so that they can participate more. But in our day program, we're doing weekly Zoom activities with our participants and their family care partners. And then we're editing and sharing those Zoom activities on our Facebook page throughout the week so that they can, you know, keep enjoying them over and over again. And through that activity, we've actually gotten a lot of press about it. I think right now, you know, news outlets are looking for local heroes, they're calling them. And so we've actually been in our local Jewish news and our local newspaper, and we've been on a couple of TV shows, and we've been on the radio. And that is really bringing more awareness to the services that we offer and our programs. And it's bringing more people to our Zoom calls. In our other older adult space, we're doing a book club for folks, and we're doing weekly exercise. We actually, you guys may, I think this is the affinity group that I've talked about it in before. We have done our caregiver day off in the past, where we host a day at a hotel for family care partners and people living with dementia, and we essentially pamper them for the whole day. And give them a break while we provide respite for their person living with dementia. And our donor on that was really flexible and nimble and open to different ideas. And we were supposed to have that event in April, but instead we changed it to something that we called a sunshine bag. And we put a bunch of different things into a bag and dropped them on the porch of all 86 participant homes that we serve. So it had things like tea and a mug and a blanket and socks and you know, an adult coloring book, and it had cookies in it, all wow. sorts of different things that we thought would be relaxing and a way for the person to engage their loved one. So those are some of the things that we've done. I am interested in hearing more about what Abby's doing, but I'll connect with you after this, because we want to, you know, within our Brown Center, our program for people living with dementia, it's easy to reach those people, right? They're part of our family already. But we know, and you guys all know, that this isolation is going to last for older adults longer than it's going to last for any other group. And it's going to take a real toll on their mental health. So we are really interested in trying to do the same idea where we purchase tablets and preload them and send them out. We actually are getting ready. We do support groups for family caregivers, but we're going to start a support group. We're going to call it Connections. For the other older adults we serve, we're not going to call it a support group, but essentially that's what it's going to be, right? So a way for people who are isolated to connect with each other, facilitated by our social worker. We're really just trying to think of different types of programming that we can offer, because especially within the nature of what we do, We want to serve people, number one, but we also want to position ourselves so that when we can reopen, we have people to reopen for. Wow. You know, in our state, our governor's put forth a 6-phase plan, and at-risk individuals basically are allowed out of their home in phase 6. And phase 6 is after there's a vaccination. So,
oh my gosh,
you know, it's a, we have a long road ahead of us, and I would love to be in the position Christina's in and say we haven't had to lay anybody off, but it's just not true for us. I mean, we don't have an end date in sight. So we have kind of a skeleton crew running our Zooms and our virtual programming, but most of our direct care staff have been furloughed. So.
Can I, I'm sorry, that I don't mean to take over, but jump into the technology. Department of Elder Affairs of Florida, they provided robotic pets. So it looks like a, you know, plush dog or plush kitty for our dementia patients. And we hear nothing but good. Caregivers are just so excited. So they gave a choice of an iPod, preloaded iPod with the music or the pet. And the pets, and I have a picture, but unfortunately it's picture with the client, so I can't show. But it looks like, you know, a stuffed toy. But it walks, and it kind of talks and barks and responds to the individual, you know, because it responds to movement. So I can send the link to the company that actually makes those toys if you guys want. But that's the response have been amazing. Wow. With that positive response, yes.
How unusual.
Mm-hmm.
So what are other people doing? Tara, all right.
Yes. So we're an integrated federation, and we're very small, so the reopening aspect and how that looks as a building is primarily done by our chief operating officer through the federation. Our CEO of the Federation is encouraging us to continue working from home to the extent possible, but we're allowed to come in as long as they know we're in and we follow the assessment protocols coming through the door. So right now we have a hybrid going in our office where I am in and our admin is in because we're slowly relaunching our transportation program. And our social worker is continuing to work from home by phone call. By phone, since that's what's happening most of the time anyway. And we're soft relaunch, so we're 3 full-time people and 3 part-time drivers. We've been very lucky being small that we haven't had to lay anybody off or reduce time, and been able to keep people on. We are relaunching our transportation in phases, focusing on medical first and put all the protocols in place for that, and we're notifying our riders this week. I'm really curious, and we'll follow up, about the tablets and the Wi-Fi, because we're finding that to be an issue, and even if you issue technology, you need to have the Wi-Fi in order to utilize the technology and how you're handling that and what the sustainability for that looks like. So we'll follow up, I guess, offline. Curious about that. That's great. Meals, we made this available to the community that we have a local caterer who is not exclusively kosher, but that we go to for kosher catering. They'll utilize the kosher kitchens in the community, and they're providing meals to go. That's how they've continued to function. And if the community orders through Jewish Family Services, they give us a reduction for the meal that allows us to buy more meals to give back. And so people can either order for themselves, someone they designate, or JFS designates for a Friday meal, and the community has been incredibly generous. And even in the last week, have had the equivalent of about 20 meals donated that we're gonna use over time for our clients in need as a very small community. So right now, they've been able to give more to the community based on the community supporting us, and the community's worked out really well. And we're working on launching JFS Connects, which is like the chat program, just calling the telephone reassurance. Mm-hmm. For being a very small community, we've been calling regularly the people that we're most concerned about, and then adding people that are brought to our attention who call us at the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so What do other people want to talk about? We don't only have to talk about programs that we're doing, but challenges.
May I ask a question, Lisa? Has anybody tried to reopen organization? And how did you do that? Did you stagger your employees where, you know, make a schedule, you know, you work Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and somebody else Tuesday, Thursday in the office? Has anybody, you know, started that? No? Okay.
We have some people who are in the office and some people going out to drop off food packages and fans and meals and things for clients. So we do have a few people in the office, but it's spread out enough to do that. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing some clients from a distance over keeping the 6 feet apart distance. These are clients who, particularly Holocaust survivors who were in hiding have been really depressed because of the PTSD. And some of these, we've been seeing some of these clients at a distance, and it's a client by client situation. So that's about the reopening. One of the things we've seen that, you know, I hear people, older adults taking on to the using iPads and things like that. We would have the money to provide the survivors and other, particularly with iPads or technology, and they don't want to do it. And so it's not for us money. We have money, but they're resistant. And before, they're, you know, we thought this would pressure them to do it because now there is no other choice. But we're still getting the same resistance that we've had before from people. And these are some of the most isolated, some of the most depressed, like people who've been in hiding during the Holocaust, and they don't want the technology, even when it's free.
Thank you for sharing. Hedy, I do have a follow-up question, and maybe others have thoughts, because in addition to coming into the office, most of our work is done in the community and home visits. And so I'm interested to know a little bit more about what this looks like when you say, staff have been seeing clients from 6 feet. Does that mean staff are required to wear PPE? Are you requiring clients masks? And can you say a little bit more about what those home visits look like and how you might ramp that up?
We have, most of them are, I mean, we're dropping things off and they're inside of their door. We're 6 feet away and both of them wearing masks. But we have had some people who have backyards or areas where they can sit in little porches, and we try, that's a first choice. And when really desperate, we only have two right now, but we've taken people to doctors when really necessary. These are life and death appointments that aren't ambulance. And then they sit in the back seat and the other side, everyone's wearing PPE for sure. And it's, you know, just, these are last choice type of things. And in terms of the two, it's only two clients out of a lot of clients that are being seen in person. It's really to prevent suicide. And then we keep the distance and with the PPE. And it's a last choice. Anything we can do by phone, we do by phone. And we have a whole wonderful program that was supposed to be a socialization program in person called Life Lessons, where we interview them, learn about their life history and how their strength-based program and what they've learned from their Holocaust experiences. And we're choosing clients that can do that on the phone. And so we've had to switch and do it that way. So what we can do, we do by phone. But when it can't be, then we do it in person. But it's really it's what we least want to do. But sometimes it is what's required. So we go on a case-by-case basis, with the first choice being just on the phone or on Zoom or some other type of, you know, anything, you know, FaceTime, anything but in person. But when we do, we do.
Thank you. Jody in Naples, you're on mute.
Yes, and I can also report that I've made some food deliveries to some survivors where I've worn a mask and gloves and dropped off stuff at the door and then moved back to as far away as I could, but still been able to have a conversation with somebody who may be at their door or even at one point went to somebody where they were inside and I was outside of their window, just to be able to have some communication with people that have just been in desperate need of some sort of socialization. And so I've had a few conversations that way out on their terrace. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Can I make a suggestion for what we do? We will call them that we are on the way with meals and have them set out a chair outside. So we don't have to put it down on the ground and they don't need to bend over. So we just set the food on the chair and then they get their food and bring the chair back whenever. And we live in Florida, so a lot of it is cheapo.
Yeah. And I do actually put it on a stone statue.
Mm-hmm. So we've tried doorknobs and it doesn't work well. So the chair it is, and we'll call them, Sam. I'm on the way. I'll be there in 5 minutes. Put the chair out.
Right.
You know. So and that has been helpful.
Right.
Clara and then Abby.
So this is a question. It's not on the same thread as you're all talking about now, but I had an idea and I haven't implemented yet. But I want to know if anyone else has this. I think that people would feel good if they themselves can do something. I know I'm helping one of my grandchildren read every morning. We read together. And I'd love to see some kind of programming go where people could do something of benefit and use to other people. And I think that would, personally, I'm guessing that it would really be a wonderful pick-me-up and very important. I wonder if anyone else has found some way of letting isolated older people give in some manner that counts.
Tara, it looks like you have your hand raised.
Yes. So our JFS Connects program that we're working on launching is a program that not for the staff to do the telephone reassurance. We're still doing that and staying connected through case management information and referral. But the Google sign-up sheet is for either the sign-up as a volunteer or as someone to receive a call. And we're finding there's seniors who are signing up to make the calls, that they want to make the phone calls. And so working finalizing the documents for this launch. And it was interesting because we had people sign up who said, they're ones that we normally would call. But you know what? That's great. If it's going to make them feel good to call somebody, it's a win-win. So,
okay. So do you feel you have to put any guidelines or training or checks in place before you do that?
You better.
Yes, that's why it hasn't launched yet. Because we've got our interest, but we're working on getting together. We've done clearances for the volunteers. I want to have clearances for all of our volunteers. And then working on the guidelines and a documentation to close the loop to get people back to us. To know just brief couple sentences of how it went, and does JFS need to follow up? Do they request a follow up? So we're working on putting that together. I had to sort of put that on the side while I worked on the transportation relaunch plan. Once that
you can't do everything at once, Tara.
Yeah, we try. So now we're going back to that to try to get that launched again.
So then I'd like to be in touch with you about how you're doing it. We'll figure out a way of doing that.
Well, sure. Yeah.
Oh, and if you have any guidelines, Tara, send them to me so I can put them in the resource library. And Claire, why don't you put your email in the chat box? That would be great.
Yep. Very good.
Nancy, did you want to respond to what everyone's saying?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So out in New Bern, it's a very small temple. And they have the pastoral care team making phone calls, which are the elderly seniors themselves, but they have a script to go by to do some check-in calls with them. And then because it is a small community, I'm doing a lot of check-in calls and finding resources for them and either emailing them or physically mailing it to them so that they feel supported.
So Nancy, that checklist or whatever that you have, if you want to send it to me, I could put it in the resource library for everyone else to look at as a guideline.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be terrific. Thank you so much.
Abby, you had wanted to say something?
Actually, it was in response to the Holocaust survivors. We had gotten a grant for a very special program for our survivors called Kesher, using a dramatic arts therapist to lead this group. And then COVID happened with the everything. So we have found, though, that the survivors are very interested. There's a group that are interested. They do want the tablets, or they already have their device, and they're willing to go on the program and work with the group. It took a lot of legwork by a dedicated staff person to get to that point, but they're there. So I'm still hopeful that the tablet idea can work, as long as we can also reassure people that if they get stuck or don't know how to use it, we've got the tech support by a phone call, you know, easy for them to access. Because I think that's the fear. They're going to feel like, I'm going to get stuck. I don't know what to do. Yeah. You know, I'm afraid to. And we're trying to do, you know, that as well. There was somebody, I love the idea, a couple things. I love the idea of purposeful activity. And we do have volunteers who are, most of our volunteers are older adults who do the food pan, but they've been screened, they have a script, they do the reassurance calls and all that. But I'm thinking maybe there's a way that, you know, they could, like something Clara was saying about how she was reading to her grandchildren, is that something that could be recorded, you know, that every week they get on and they do something like that? I don't know. I just think it's a terrific idea. And some of the older adults that I've contacted who have, because of medical conditions, they've been isolated for a couple of years anyway. And they said to me, Abby, like, this is my life. I'm used to this. And one of the things that they said is, I have found ways to be purposeful, whether it's knitting something and then donating it to the hospital or whatever. So I think that's a fantastic idea. Mm-hmm.
You have to find out what people like, what
exactly.
They're interested in. I mean, that,
what are their interests.
Right. And then figure out things for them.
But a quick question, who's doing the virtual support discussion group? Somebody was talking about.
Deb said she was.
Deb?
We are also in Albany.
But hold on, let's let Anne talk for a second, Clara.
Just want to hear how that's what you're doing.
Right, so Anne's doing it.
So one of the things that's helped us a lot is we had our JFNA grant with our Holocaust survivors, and we used it for what we called tablets and tech. So we replicated a program out of, I want to say, Philadelphia. And so we trained our Russian speakers and our English speakers to use tablets. And we did find resistance in the beginning, but as we had the early adopters, and once they saw their friends doing it, by the fourth class, there was like a waiting list. And that's really helped us during this time, because we've springboarded from that to do remote classes. So we're our challenge from our CEO was to do them across our agency. So we have a Russian Jewish Cultural Center that's doing English classes by Zoom and doing a discussion music song lovers chat group on Skype. And we have, through our Holocaust program, a discussion group. And then we started with what we call our vital support today, which is our mental health care management group, started a series of remote offerings. So we are still working through which clients. We did do somebody mentioned a technology audit. We are in the process of gathering all that data, who has what, and looking at three things: skills, access, and hardware. Those are the three things we're looking at, you know, and what's their level with all use of all of those things. We're also using, doing telemedicine with our counseling as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. Very good that you had that already in play before this started. Look, I only know from the experience with my mother that it's really hard to get her to understand how to do it. And I've been working with her like every week, you know, telling her how to do it. And it seems so simple. You know, you click on the link, you know, you put in the password, whatever it is. So I understand it's complicated if you have 25 clients, let's say, you know, who's doing that. And because sometimes it can be very confusing for people. You know, Debbie, you've been unusually quiet. Oh, you're Cincinnati too, so we just heard from Anne. Okay, so who hasn't told us what's going on? We only have like 5 minutes left. Benjamin Levy, have you ever been on this call before? Are you still with us? Okay, how about Rosemary in Salt Lake? Are you, what's happening with you?
Hi, we have been, for me, surprisingly successful with our virtual support group. You know, we had never done it before and we had to do it. We did it, and people who had never logged in before joined, people who had been coming regularly continued to join. We have two of those. We also are trying to, we were all ready to launch our memory cafe. We were going to launch it in April, but then this happened. So we've been putting our heads together and following what Beth does in Boston. We, you know, I read everything she put out there on her website, but we are going to launch our virtual memory cafe on the 18th of June. We're excited about that. And then our dementia choir has also been very successful. We get, you know, 20, 25 people a week on that. And it's just fun. Everybody wants to connect and it feels very real. And anyway, so it's just been really fun, kind of surprising. We're looking very long-term for this. You know, we're not getting together anytime soon. So it's been fun. It's weird, but it's been really fun.
I think all of you guys have done amazing jobs at, you know, completely pivoting from, you know, what we were doing for, who knows, 50 years. In like a week, suddenly everything changed on a dime and people have really stepped up. But it is so, you know, it's sad to think about the Holocaust survivors who you can't get in touch with, you know, and connect with. It's really difficult.
Debbie, Cincinnati, yeah. Did you want to say something?
I was going to add just one thing. Yes, Anne's my colleague, so she got in a lot of what all the work that she's been doing. But one thing I haven't heard, and that was one of your questions, Adam, was about, you know, self-care and care for our employees. We've been very fortunate at our Jewish Family Service. Our CEO had a donor who came forward and said, I want to do something to help your staff. Because not even though you all still have jobs, people have children out of work, spouses out of work, they may have had a cut. And so we were fortunate enough to have a donor come forward with a significant sum. And we can all apply anonymously through a local rabbi who's overseeing the fund. And if somebody's having trouble paying the rent or has a payment that's due and their spouse was laid off, we have the ability to apply for that. And I think that's something that it sounds like, since I didn't hear it yet, it's kind of unique that we're lucky that we have that. But I would say if you have donors who are looking for a way to help, you know, yes, we all have jobs and we're all very fortunate. But, you know, for every one of us that does, there are households that don't. And we know how slow unemployment is coming to those families. So if you have a donor who's looking for a way to help, something that we've been very fortunate to have in Cincinnati. So I would recommend it if somebody comes to you for that.
Thanks for that idea, Debbie. Hetty, we're about to wrap up. You want the last word?
I don't need the last word, but I know we are big and we do. I just say we do a lot, and I didn't talk about what we do, but we do deliver food mobile. We have packages of food that we can deliver. We've been delivering masks and gloves, and we're trying to get a hold of sanitizer. I got a grant for that. We're partnering with an agency that's providing 25 Holocaust survivors with a hot Shabbat meal once a week. I mean, they're just doing it. Each survivor, we're rotating with a group of survivors to have a big Shabbos meal for Friday night and Saturday. So we're doing a lot of different programs to try to deal with the isolation. And I mean, it definitely isn't enough. We do have a financial assistance program that can go for staff. We have a lot going on because we are a big organization and we're very blessed with what we have, but what we don't have is what they want, which is a socialization. And listening to a client call yesterday, and tell me that she would give anything for a hug. She's so alone. Mm. She was crying and said, I haven't been hugged. I don't know what it feels like anymore. It's tough. She's
in
her 80s, and there's a lot of pain out there. And our goal is to avoid more pain and to do the little bit we can to try to step in and make people know that they are connected, even if it's not in person.
Thank you.
That was a beautiful last word.
Yeah, I think that summed it up. And I think that does sum up what so many of our clients are feeling, of being so isolated and wanting real human connection. I think, Abby, you were, everybody wants to know about your technology program. So I know you put your email, but if you also have written materials related to that, even what your plan is, that would be helpful.
Yeah, it's still evolving. And probably by the next time we meet, I'll be able to report how it went. Because we're launching it like within the next 2 weeks. So I'll have a lot more to tell you about it then. And if I have anything, I'll put it out there.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. So thank you very much for all participating. We'll see you in a
Keep up the good fight. Keep on doing what you're doing. Bye. Thank you, Christina. Bye, Adam. Bye, everyone.